Though around us death is seething, God, his two-edged sword unsheathing, by his Spirit life is breathing through the living, active Word. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading from Hebrews chapter 4. And so much of this passage focuses on rest, God's rest that he gave through the Sabbath day to the Old Testament Israelites. Some of them listened and entered into that rest, some of them did not. But I'm really going to be focusing on those last two verses here, verses 12 and 13, which I think sum up the whole reading very nicely. And I'm just going to read these again. So verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I was preparing for the sermon this morning, as reading this text earlier this week, I realized there's a whole lot going on here. There's a lot to chew on, and it's probably more than what can be talked about in just one Sunday. There's all this talk about the Sabbath day and the rest and things like that. There's quotes from King David here, and there's references to Joshua, who got to lead the people of Israel into the promised land after Moses had already died. But I was really struck by these last two verses here, because the writer to the Hebrews really pulls all this together. And essentially what he says is that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. The Word of God essentially affects us in one of two ways. Either it heals us, or it can hurt us. Either it kills us, or it makes us alive. And of course, in the same way that you had the Hebrews of the Old Testament, the same word of God went out to all of them. Some of them were stubborn. They refused to believe it. It ultimately hurt them because they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. But then you had their descendants. You had the very next generation who heard that same word and believed it, received it, and entered into that promised land. The same thing happens today. Some people hear God's word, but they reject it. And because of their disobedience and their stubbornness, it ends up hurting them. But then, of course, you have people who hear the word of God, receive it, and look forward to an eternal promised land. So instead of trying to tackle everything that we could possibly tackle in this reading in, 15 minutes or less, a wise person once told me that if you want to tackle the colossal task of eating an elephant, that you just need to use the strategy of going one bite at a time. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to take this one bite at a time. And actually, what I want to do is just talk about three bites. We're going to just have three little bites we're going to chew on this morning. We're going to talk about how the Word of God is, one, living and active, two, sharper than any two-edged sword, and three, that it's able to divide even soul and spirit. Those are our three bites. So here's the first one. The Word of God is living and active. Now, I think about this in terms of electricity. Okay, so some of you remember that I had the privilege of going down to Texas in September. I got to do a bunch of electrician work down there, things that I wasn't really suited to do, but I learned a lot on that trip, and we had a few of our members there with us. Bill Hafford and Mike Brahmeyer and Dennis Newhouse were all with us. And Dennis, you told me a couple times throughout the week that it's good to have a healthy fear of electricity, right? And of course, what he meant by that is that it's good to not be nonchalant when you're dealing with electrician work, right? Because if the wires you're working with are living and active, well, then one false move and you might not be so living and active, if you catch my drift. And I kind of learned what he was talking about. At one point, I went out to the circuit breaker. I was just going to turn the power off, and I reached in there, and I must have touched something I wasn't supposed to touch, and I got a little bit of a shock. And I don't know how close I was to death in that moment. I don't want to know. But clearly, I did not know what I was doing. And then I kind of contrast that with just yesterday morning. I was here in the gym. The LWML was having their fall workshop. And Roland Schnicker was there. He was kind of helping get some things straightened out for us before the whole thing started. And of course, Roland knows so much about electricity, right? He knows way more than I would ever know. And I'm watching him as he takes his pocket knife and puts it into an extension cord that was plugged in. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how dangerous that was. And he came and explained to me why what he was doing was actually pretty safe. And I believed him. But I said to him, hey, you got to be careful because I don't have time to do another funeral this week. Now, what I don't mean to say is that the Word of God is so dangerous that we should avoid it. Right? That would be pretty counterproductive for me as a pastor to get up here and to suggest that the Bible is too hot to handle or something like that. But what I am saying is that God's Word has real power. It's living and active, and the Holy Spirit's intention is that that power would be harnessed for our benefit, right? The scriptures themselves even tell us this. So at the end of the Gospel of John, the scriptures say, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So God's word is given to us so that we would have life. But we don't want to be careless with that word, because the same word that brings life and salvation through the gospel can also bring knowledge of sin and death through the law. And so that's actually what brings us to our second bite here. So bite number two, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God functions in those two ways, law and gospel, sharper than any two-edged sword. So to kind of talk about this, I came up with two parables that I want to share with you. So you'll have to bear with me because I wrote these parables and I'm not Jesus, okay? But here are two parables. I'm calling this a tale of two blades. So here's the first one. The Word of God is like the sharp razor that sits on the windowsill in the bathroom on the south side of our house. So once, only about every 2 days, because I've never been blessed with the ability to really grow facial hair, I use that razor to shave my face and look presentable out in the world. And that razor is a benefit to me. It's a blessing to me. It's a tool that is very useful to me. But that same razor caused a lot of drama in our household earlier this week when Zoe got a hold of it. And she was playing with it, and she sliced her thumb. And it took two Band-Aids to stop the bleeding. And as you can imagine, there were a lot of tears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here's the second one. The Word of God is like the two blades that are on a pair of scissors. So normally, what we try to do is we keep the scissors in a safe, hidden place so that our kids can't get a hold of them, right? Because scissors are dangerous. Lately, Zoe has learned how to use scissors safely and properly, and so we've made a few exceptions here and there. But Zach is at the stage in his life where if there is anything dangerous in the room, that is what he's going to go for. And so if we were to leave a pair of scissors out in the middle of the room where he could reach them, I guarantee you the first thing that would happen is he would grab those scissors, probably try to put them in his mouth, probably try to run away from us once we caught him, probably would be doing both things at the same time. But on Friday morning, I had a new experience with my son. His hair was getting a little long, so I got to take him to the barber shop. And some of you I know probably saw the pictures on Facebook. This was something my dad did with me and my brothers. We would go to a small town barbershop. And so it was kind of like a milestone for me. It was really fun to get to do that. So normally, whereas we would never want Zach to be anywhere near a pair of scissors, when those scissors are in the hands of a barber who has been cutting hair for 50 years and knows exactly what to do with those scissors, that is a very good thing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The point of all this is that the Word of God teaches basically two main doctrines, right? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lutherans tend to label these two doctrines law and gospel. And when God's faithful people apply law and gospel in an appropriate way to their everyday lives, well, then everything's great. You know, when you share the law with somebody who really needs to hear it, that can help to prevent the outbreak of sin. It can help people from harming themselves in a spiritual way. That is a good thing. But if the law is used to kick somebody while they're down, or cause somebody to go into despair over their sin, well, that's not a good thing. And that's more like leaving razors and scissors out for little kids to get a hold of. And the gospel is very similar in the sense that, you know, when you teach in the gospel the good news, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we teach these things to sinners who need to hear that word of forgiveness and grace and mercy and love. But if we use that gospel to kind of gloss over sin and say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. If we use that gospel to pretend that our thoughts and our words and our actions don't really matter to God, if we use the gospel to give ourselves a license to sin, well, then that's not a good thing at all. That's just as problematic as if we were to go overboard with the law. So this is a difficult thing for us to learn. And we don't always get it right. But there is one who always does. And that's what brings us to our last little bite here. The Word of God is able to divide soul and spirit. What does this mean? Well, what's being said here is that God uses that sharp blade of the Word in a perfectly accurate way. He's like a surgeon who is able to see precisely where he needs to cut in order to get that sin out of our bodies and to get us to start healing. Now, I've been around a lot of people who have had to have surgery before, many people even within our own congregation. I don't know a single person who would say that they love the idea of having surgery. Because surgery makes us vulnerable, right? Surgery is one of those things that makes us really anxious. But you know what makes surgery a little bit more palatable? When you know and trust the surgeon. The last verse of this reading says, "No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Talk about being vulnerable, right? And yet, our spiritual surgeon can be trusted 1,000% because he's actually already done what was necessary to heal us. Jesus was the one who had his skin cut by whips, by thorns, by nails that pierced his hands and feet. Jesus is the one who made himself ultimately vulnerable. He's the one who was naked and exposed. He's the one who was despised and rejected by the world so that you and I could be covered with his love. So that we could be accepted into God's kingdom. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit. The Word of God is powerful, There's no doubt about that, even to the point where some people might call it dangerous. But thanks be to God who wields the sharp blade and knows how to use it. The only ones who are sliced to pieces are sin, death, and the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.